confess, no friend like him in times of deep distress. I need Jesus, the need I gladly own, though some may bear their load alone, yet I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. Need him in the sunshine hours. Need him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along my way, yes, I need Jesus.
I need Jesus. I need a friend like him, a friend to guide when paths of life are dim.
I need Jesus when foes my soul assail. Alone I know I can but fail, yet I need Jesus.
I need Jesus. I need him to the end. No one like him. He is a sinner's friend. No other friend will do. So constant, kind, so strong and true. Yes, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day.
Sunshine hour, need him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along my way, yes, I need Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, guys. I need Jesus. We all need him. We need Jesus through so many things in life. Everything, we need him. All right, deliverance from anxiety. So I ask you the question this morning, do you struggle through anxiety? Do you have times in your life where you feel anxious? Statistics tell us, and statistics are a little shocking, but listen to this. Statistics tell us that in America, it is just America, but 1 in 3 adults in their lifetime will have struggled with anxiety. 1 in 3 at some point in time in life will go through some situations of anxiety. Now think about that, folks. 1 in 3. 1 in 3 people. We could look and just see 3 people. 1 in 3 at some point in time is going to go through a time of anxiety. That would mean, in the size of a crowd like this, that would mean that in life there would be 20 to 25 of you that are going to face, have faced, will face a time of anxiety. There's also another statistic that says that 1 in 5 people in America will go through times of anxiety within a specific year. So in 2026, the statistics, and I understand statistics are just statistics, but that's saying that 1 in 5 people, that's about 14 of you, would go through bouts of anxiety this year. Now, understand that these statistics are clinical anxiety situations. These are not just things that we face. You've ever gone to the doctor and you they make you fill out all these questions these days. It's getting kind of crazy these days. You go to the doctor and they have you fill out everything and they ask you, you know, everything about your life. And I'm thinking, what do you need to know about all the things in my life? And maybe your opinion is different than mine, but it's amazing all the things that they ask you. And of course, one of the things they ask you, do you suffer from depression or anxiety? Well, I struggle with that because are there times that I'm discouraged and depressed? Well, there are, but I'm certainly not going to answer yes to that. Okay? And you understand why, right? Because they're going to jump on you and want to give you all kinds of stuff, whatever. But see, the statistics that I just gave you are not any of these. So what does that tell us? If one in three statistically, clinically, are reported as struggling with anxiety, what's that mean about those of us who don't ever report it that sometimes go through times of anxiety? That's a little steep, isn't it? One in five clinically are going to be said to go through anxiety this year. What does that mean about the reality of us? It's a lot more than that. And for that reason, I believe that we need to go to the scriptures today as we study not being afraid this year, 2026. So many people are going through fears, but I submit to you that many people in life are going through anxiety issues. You say, what is anxiety? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Go ahead and turn there. We're not going to stay here. But the book of Philippians, Paul writes to this church and group of people. He writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. You're very familiar with the verse. What does it say? He says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, be careful about or for nothing. And here the word careful is used. And this word is used, or the word anxiety is used for this idea. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious about nothing. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, another passage that you're familiar with. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, and uses a different word. Well, I say a different word, it's the same Greek word actually. But he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That first care, casting all your care, is the same word as be careful for nothing. Interesting enough, that second careth in 1 Peter 5, 2 is a different word, different Greek word that is used there, for he careth for you. When we're looking at the word care or careful, in which the closest word that we would use in English would be anxiety. Anxiety. When you look up this, it's to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. Now, as I go through this definition, I want you to think, how would you describe anxiety? Many of us would describe anxiety far more than what we would like to admit. We would take it much further. We would kind of go to the clinical side of things. If I were to ask you today to raise your hand, and I'm not going to, but raise your hand, how many of you suffer from anxiety? My guess is that none of you would raise your hand. Because none of us would want to admit that we are anxious people. Yet, if I were to ask you how many of you seem to have cares of things in this world, probably more of you would be willing to admit that. Why? Because the word anxiety is kind of a scary word, right? Anxiety, I don't know. No, I'm a Christian. I trust God. I don't go through anxiety. But many of us do go through anxiety. But listen as I read through the definition here and let the definition actually show us who we really are. To be anxious is... anxiety is to be anxious or troubled with the cares of this life. It means to care for, to look out for a thing. Oh, listen to this one. This gets us. To seek to promote one's interest. It means that we're very busy about the things that we're doing. We're very, if I could say, careful. You immediately think of who in the New Testament, in the Gospels. You remember the two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Mary was very careful to do what? Sit at Jesus' feet. While Martha did, she was busy about. You see, a lot of us, we think about anxiety as, if I could say, we think of it in the terms of like depression. But can I submit to you, as we look at in the Scriptures, it means to be very busy and to be very focused on going about doing our things. Now, God wants us to be focused, and He wants us to be busy, and He wants us to do our things. But we have to be careful with the priority in which God has given and the spirit and attitude in which it is. Because we can be busy about, we can be careful about, and be anxious about things in life. And God says, be careful for nothing. Well, let's look at this idea in a little bit deeper way. I like looking at Noah Webster. If you ever get your hands on a Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, I like that dictionary because this dictionary is much older than a lot of our dictionaries. And Noah Webster, when he put his dictionary together, often used biblical ideas. He was very biblical, Bible focused. And in fact, you read a lot of the definitions and you can see how it fits into the Bible. I like that because that's the context I want my words to find when we look at these words, okay? And so I went back to Noah Webster's dictionary and I looked at the word anxiety. And this is what Noah says about it. It's old, and so it's just try to follow what he says. He says, anxiety is concern or solicitude respecting some event, future or uncertain, which disturbs the mind. It disturbs the mind and keeps it in a state of painful uneasiness. He goes on to say that anxiety expresses more than uneasiness or disturbance, and even more than trouble or solicitude. It usually springs from fear or serious apprehension of evil and involves a suspense respecting an event, and often a perplexity of mind. What are some of the things that we get anxious about? Health concerns. We all like to feel good, don't we? And our bodies are feeble and frail, and they, over time, typically don't get better. As we grow older, our bodies start to give out in certain places and do different things that we don't want it to do, and we become sick in some cases. We develop conditions and things, and many of us get very careful concerning our bodies. Now, should a Christian care about their body? Well, we ought to care, depending on how you define the word care. And some of you were scared to answer. Well, in the way we use the word care, should we care for our bodies? Well, we should care. We shouldn't just be haphazard with our bodies. We shouldn't just do whatever. We should care. When we look at the biblical definition of care, though, ought we to be so cumbered about with our bodies? The answer is no. It can actually be a very unhealthy thing to be so worried about our bodies and what we do and how we do it, that we can be cumbered about, as it was referred to as Martha, taking care of it, that it actually causes us stress about what we're doing and what we're not doing. Folks, let me ask you a question. We're going to go there in just a little bit. But whose hands are our bodies in? The Lord's. Who made your body? Who knows how to fix your body? God does. Now, we ought to be prudent. God wants us to take care of things. We're stewards of what God has given to us, and He wants us to take care of it. But folks, ultimately, we ought not be careful about our bodies. We place our life in God's hands. And I can tell you that we ought to do what we can do, but ultimately God is in control, and we ought not to be anxious or careful about how we do everything, because it can end up being more of a strain on our bodies than the thing that we're concerned about. God says, be careful for nothing. And if it is a motivating factor in life that I am so focused on, that I've got to do this and I've got to do this, folks, I just want to say, and I'm not going to define what that means. And it might be different for all of us, but I can say this, that if we're anxious and we're fearful about catching something, fearful about getting something, fearful about eating something that we, you know, that might contain something that was, you know, in a chicken, you know, that we bought from the store. You know, we can get so careful about life that it scares us and it brings about fear, which I submit to you is much more fearful than a piece of chicken itself. We need to be very, here we go, use the word careful, in a very simple sense, about being careful about our health. Ultimately, our bodies are in God's hands. Now again, certainly don't take it that and say be haphazard with it. I think that we need to, again, be good stewards of that. But anything can happen to anybody at any time. Have you noticed that? Some of the most health-conscious people have died of heart attacks and things that you would thought, how did that happen to them? And I'm not promoting unhealthiness, but some of the most very unhealthy people have lasted more than a lifetime. I had a grandmother that lived in New Mexico, Taos, New Mexico. And she lived to be 104 or 105 or 106, I forget now, which it was. And I can tell you, she was not health conscious. In fact, it was a very much of a practice for her to eat spoonfuls of lard and things that you and I would be like, what? I remember her making fig pies that you would say, fig pie. Amazing, amazing. My grandmother made this amazing food that I can tell you that for the health conscious, you would be like, that is going to kill you. Well, 106. Now, I'm not trying to tear down your health and your practices, but I want to say, folks, we need to be very, I keep using the word careful, not to be so, to let health control us to where we're scared to death about what we're going to contract and what we're going to get and what I can touch and what I shouldn't touch and who. We've got to be careful about that. I keep using that word, careful. So some of us are very careful about health. Some of us are very careful about our just situations in life and situations and positions that we get ourselves in that we don't want to be confronted about this. We don't want to get into a situation with our boss at work where they find out this. We want to make sure and we let that scare us. We're scared of conditions. We're scared of situations. I'm just going to tell you, I'm scared of dogs that I don't know about. I'm scared, you know, I've had some situations in my life that have scared me about it. I remember working out in the oil field in Wyoming. I was in the middle of nowhere. You would think that never, wouldn't you know, I'm out there in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking like 50 miles from a town or more, 60, 70 miles from a town. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. And on the oil well site, I'm all by myself out in the middle of nowhere, and a truck pulls up, and wouldn't you know, he opens the door, and this big old dog jumps out. Now, this dog had thousands of square miles to run. You know where he ran? Straight to me. And I froze. I didn't run, but I froze. And that dog came right up to me, and it bit me, and it hurt. That was something that was very, it impacted my life. There was another time I worked here in the area, and I worked for UPS during just the Christmas season, and I was helping deliver packages, and we went onto a property. And as soon as we got, me and the driver got out of the brown UPS truck, we started for the door, and around the corner, a pack of dogs came running after us. That time I did run. I ran right back to that truck and jumped in there and left the driver to himself. I can't remember what happened. I didn't get bit that time because I was in the truck. But for me, that traumatized me. And I know some of you are like, don't be afraid. You know, you're a friend of every animal out there. But for me, that does it. And, you know, I can let situations like that fear me. I can let it hinder me. I can let it really struggle me when I drive up to places, you know, and I see the dog there. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, it's me or you. And I'm going to let it be you when I drive away. But situations in life, we can let it fear us, and we can become very careful about it and anxious about it. And I could go on to so many different situations in life. We have people in social situations. There are people that scare us, people that concern us, and we see them. They're different from us, and we don't know how to respond, and we let those things control us. We let it make a big impact on our lives. These are just examples of the way that we can be anxious. Some of you are scared about different family members and being with them. And you know, at those holidays, you know, at Christmas time or Thanksgiving time or whatever like that. And you're like, oh, I've got to be with that person. They scare me, you know. Or maybe there's somebody at work that scare you. They intimidate you. There's a neighbor that you might have that intimidates you, and you don't know what to say. You don't know how to say it. You don't know how to park in your driveway. You don't know how to, because you're afraid of what they're going to do. Financial concerns, fear, and make a lot of people anxious because they're scared about what tomorrow is going to hold and what tomorrow will not be. They're scared of losing, and they're scared of misplacing. They're scared of somebody scamming them. They're scared of, and a lot of these things are real. People become very anxious about financial situations. People are very fearful of spiritual concerns, fearful of doing wrong, fearful of saying something wrong, fearful of looking at someone wrong, fearful of doing things that God is not pleased with, and they're so afraid that it drives them to live in a state where they don't feel like they can do anything, and if they do, they've got to go apologize and people are so scared of doing something that goes against God, which we ought to be concerned about it, but so fearful that it controls their life. And I know, according to the statistics, that I'm talking to many of you that are anxious. Some of you are anxious with your interests and things that you do in life. That you are so controlled about getting this done and doing that in a certain amount of time and making sure that you are and controlled by it and living a life that is rather fearful and anxious. So I've given you some examples of the way that we can be controlled. And with these things, we tend to worry. We tend to fear. We take on stress and issue ourselves either to fix it or care about it. And so then the weight of the issue is on our shoulders. I ask you this morning, what is the weight on your shoulders? What's the weight that you carry? What's the fear that you bear on your shoulders? The last verse that we were at, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, uses a word that we're going to look at, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We're going to look just for a moment at an idea of casting. What does it mean to cast? He says, casting all your care upon Him. Psalm 37, 5, you can turn there quickly. Another word is used concerning our care. Psalm 37, 5. The very first word is what? Commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And then do you remember the passage in Matthew chapter 6? You don't need to raise your hand, but when I say Matthew chapter 6, do you remember the subject? Well, there's the issue of prayer and there, and then there's the issue, there's some other things that come onto the scene, and money hits. And then in verse 24, through the rest of the chapter, he talks about something else. Do you know what the rest of the chapter talks about? Cares. Cares. Let's go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 6. I think we need to. We've got about 16 or 17 minutes before the top of the hour, and I want to make sure that we get everything. Go to Matthew chapter 6. This passage was very helpful for me this week. Very helpful. And I will admit to you that there was a care on my shoulders that I was bearing this week. And God used this passage to really help me. I hope it will help you. We're going to look at these three, 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care. Psalm 37, 5, and we'll quickly do it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And then we see here in Matthew chapter 6. Let's go ahead and read some of these verses and see if you can think of what phrase. It's listed a couple times in a couple different ways, but Matthew chapter 6, and let's start with verse 24. Well, let's start with verse 25. He says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. He's going to either love one, hold the one, despise the one. He cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father hath need of them. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In 1 Peter 5, 7, the idea is casting. In Psalm 37, 5, the idea is commit, or the word is commit. What's the phrase used in Matthew chapter 6? Did you catch it? Take no thought. Take no thought. The first thing I want to talk about is take no thought. We see it in verse 30, the idea in verses 33 and 34. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow in verse 34. We see it in verse 25, going back. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I cannot grow a foot by thinking about it. I can't take a thought about it. I can't care enough to do that. And then in verse 31, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? The idea here with this passage is don't carry the burden that is meant for someone else's shoulders on your shoulder. Do you know that God never intended for you to be burdened about these things? God never intended you to have to put these things on your shoulders. You know, and he uses illustrations of the birds and the lilies, and he uses these simple things because those things, you know, he said, well, they do take thought. You know, that bird goes out and looks for its worm. But folks, do you know that bird does not get anxious or worried that he's going to find the worm? He just goes out and does it. You know, the lily grows, and I don't believe that lilies think, but you know, that lily is not worried, you know, when it starts to poke up out of the ground, you know, I sure hope that I can survive this. There is no thought. And he uses that and he says, listen, they shouldn't. God takes care of them, yet how much more do I love you? Folks, do you know that God loves you more than a lily? Do you know that God loves you more than a bird? God loves you, and he says here, don't you think that if God takes care of these better than he took care of Solomon? Stop for a moment. Did God take care of the needs of King Solomon? Do you remember King Solomon and the temple and the palace that Solomon had? I mean, it was unmatched. Did Solomon have everything he needed there in his palace? Oh, wow. It was above and beyond. And the Queen of Sheba coming and visiting, you know what, was skeptical of it. And when she got there, what did she think? This is far beyond anything that I've ever seen. Not just the beauty, not just the wealth and the riches, not just the construction of it, but then how the people acted. Everything was in order and everything was perfect and everything was right. And she, you know, her jaw dropped. She said, this is amazing. And God says here in this passage that the flowers, the birds are taken care of far better than Solomon was taken care of. And he looks at all of us this morning and he says, folks, why do you carry your concerns when I am the one made to bear them? Take no thought. He's saying, listen, there's things, other things in life that I have prepared you for, that I want you to do. By the way, if we could say this in looking at this passage, what does God want us to take thought for? Not anxious or worry. What does God want us to, and I'm going to give you the key word, seek. According to Matthew chapter 6, what does he want us to seek? The kingdom of heaven, right? And his righteousness. Do you know what God is saying there? This is what he's saying, take no thought. He's not saying be foolish and rampant about things. He's saying, listen, what I want you to do, I want you to put a focus on what I have called you to do in life. I want you to seek first God. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. I will take care of your clothes. I will take care of your food. I will take care of your house. I will take care of your health. I will take care of your situations. I will take care of your finances. I will take care of the needs that you have. I've got those things. I've got them. All those things that I went through and gave illustrations. He says, I've got them. I can help you live till your day. We all have a day. We all have a time appointed to us to die. Isn't that true? We all have a date already, folks. Now again, God's not telling us just to do whatever, but he is saying, listen, you don't need to worry about it because I've already got your date and it's in my hands. What I want you to do is take your time to seek me first. I will take care of the rest. Take no thought. Don't be anxious about those things. I've got it. I've got it in control. My friend, God has the weight that you're bearing, he's got it under control. He's got it in his hands. He's got it taken care of. But see, what happens is we take thought. We take it onto our own hands and we begin to worry. We begin to fear. We begin to be anxious about these things. And God is saying, would you please not take thought? Take no thought. Take no thought. Let it go. Second, in 1 Peter 5:7, we go back to that verse that we read, casting all your care. What does it mean to cast? I believe that Peter is quoting the psalmist in Psalm 55 and verse 25 that said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, that's Yahweh, throw it upon him and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's what Peter is referring to when he says, cast all your care upon him. Take it and throw it. In other words, don't hold it for a little while and look down at it for a little while and contemplate it for a little while. No, when that thought comes, he says, as like, take no thought. He says, don't think about it. But when it comes, get rid of it and just throw it to him. Say, God, this isn't for me. I'm not going to deal with this. Now, some of you take that and you say, boy, I'm not even thinking about this. What if God? No what ifs. God doesn't want you to handle the weights of this life. God does not want you to be anxious. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to do what you need to do and pay the bill and work and do that. But what we're talking about is being worried about it, being anxious about it, being fearful and going through in our mind and being scared that we will die, being scared that we'll get sick, being scared that we won't have the money, being scared that this circumstance will go bad, being scared that this meeting that I'm going to have is going to go bad. God does not, it might go bad. He didn't ever say that it would all go good or go well. But he's saying, you don't need to be afraid of it. Let God take it. Let him take it in his hands. He says, I've got it. I've got this. I am very capable of taking care of your situation, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So cast it, throw it. That word casting means to throw or to place upon somebody else, to get it and put it on somebody else. I think Andrew preached a message on that not long ago. Something, you had that illustration, right? And I think, was it Malachi or somebody came up here and was, whatever, just get rid of it. You don't need to hold that weight. You don't need to bear that burden. There are some of you out here today that are bearing burdens and you're struggling with them and you don't know what to do and you're going to the Lord and you're pleading to God, God, what do I do? And you know what God wants you to do? Give it to him and walk away. So God, you didn't mean this for me. This is your situation. Casting all your care upon him. And then thirdly, commit. We go to this word in Psalm 37:5, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. To commit is to roll off of and away from and onto somebody else, to roll it off of. A burden that's so heavy that I can't even pick up, but I'm going to roll it off of my shoulders, get it off of me, and roll it on to him. God, this is not meant for me. I roll it off of me. We get relief. I don't have to care about this anymore. But it's not just leaving it off, but it's giving it to the Lord. It's rolling it, the care, onto the Lord and rolling it on his shoulders so now he is bearing it. Because see, if it's just laying there, I'm still going to probably struggle with it. But when I know that it's on his shoulders, it's like he's going to take care of it. He's got it. The master of the universe has it on his shoulders, and he is going to care for me. Let me read a quote that Charles Spurgeon gives. This work of committing and trusting and casting can be so difficult when we need to use two hands to do it, that we need to use two hands to do it. First of all, the hand of prayer and the hand of faith. Prayer tells God what the care is. God, here's my struggle. God, here's my worry. Here's my care. Prayer tells God what the care is and asks God to help, while faith believes that God can and will do it. Prayer spreads the letter of trouble and grief before the Lord and opens all its budgets. And then faith cries, I believe that God cares and cares for me. I believe that He will bring me out of my distress and make it promote His own glory. Take no thought. Casting. Committing. Folks, the good news of this morning is you don't need to be anxious about anything. It's a difficult thing, but you don't need to be. Let Him take it. This week I was here, and I'm just going to open up to you and I'm going to share what it was. There was, you know, that we put an offer on the home last week. We've been looking for, it's been a long process. We put an offer on the home. We thought, didn't we, Melissa? We thought that that was the right place for us. I mean, no, we just really believed that God was going to do it. We went into it and we obeyed God in every step of the way. We prayed through it a lot of, every step. Should we drive by? Should we go in? Should we make an offer? Should we offer more? Should we, everything, we put it to prayer. We put it, and we found out Monday at noon that it did not go through. And I think we were trying to trust the Lord. We kind of just said, okay, Lord, this is what you wanted. But within the next couple days, I developed an anxiety concerning whether I should try to pray through and ask God for it to fall through so that we can still get it, because it seemed so right for us. And so in the last several days this week, I've really been praying. Should I be praying that it fall through? But you understand something. When you pray for things like that, you can really pray through something for a long while, and you're like, when do I stop? Is there an end to this? Do I keep going? You know, and it was like, I was a little concerned. God, do you want me praying through this, or are you wanting me to move on? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you want me to pray through this or move on? And that's a struggle. We don't know all the time what to do. And I was burdened about that. I was very burdened. I don't want to waste my time, if I could say. I don't want to be wasting my time. If God's no was no, I want to move on. But if God's really wanted me to do that, then I want to, in faith, do that. And I was struggling over it. And there was a day this week that I bore that burden on my shoulders, and I was feeling it. And I was struggling with it, and I was like, God, I need to know what you want. And that burden of whether I should, it wasn't the house, it was whether I should bear the burden of continuing to pray or let it go, was on my shoulders. I was bearing that, and it was bringing me down. And I came in here, and I was praying it right in here, and I remembered the chapter that, what's his name? Waiting on God, Andrew Murray, that he has on being still and listening to God and just letting God show you things. And because we can pray and talk all we want to, and we can read and receive, and sometimes we just need to stop and wait for God. And I'll be honest, it might sound funny, but I came in here and I didn't know how do I let everything go in life so that I can just listen to God. And of course, I read and I prayed, and it's like, I just need to be still. And it might sound funny, but right here, I got down and I just lay down and I said, God, I just need you to speak. I just need you to show me something. And I laid there. I laid there for, if any of you had walked into the building, you would have been like, what is he doing? I probably would have jumped up real quick, you know. But I was laying right here and I was just saying, God, I don't know how to be still. You know, do you understand what I mean? How do we be still? Being still and letting God speak to us is very difficult because we're so busy in our lives. We're just so, my mind, and I'll tell you, the first few minutes of it, I was struggling. I was like, I just thinking through this, like, you know, trying to think through it. And I wanted to get to that point. I'm not talking about anything weird. I'm not talking about meditating. I'm not talking about being funny with it. I just wanted to just say, God, I need you to speak to me. Using the Word of God. You know, I'm not talking about some experience where God just, I'm talking about using the Word of God. I need you to just show me what you have. And I just was there, not doing anything, but just saying, God, would you speak to me? Would you show me what you want? And I probably was there for 10, 15 minutes. And at a certain point in time, God brought to my mind Matthew 6:33 over and over again. Sean, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know, and when it first came into my mind, I was like, okay, just Lord. No, he brought it up again. You know, but seek ye first. Because see, what was happening was I was on track to have a day at the church working, being completely filled with what was going on, the care in my life. And what God showed me is, Sean, there are things to do. There's a message to preach on Sunday. There's a family to take care of through the week. There are things going on, and you need to seek me first. I can take care of that house. I can take care of whether you should do that or not. I can take care of all of that. What I want you to do is seek me. Because that's what Matthew chapter 6 is telling us. Just seek me. You don't need to take thought of that even. I am fully capable of taking care of this situation. And I will tell you that I got up off of the floor and I said, God, thank you. I was still, I feel like God spoke to me. And I got up and I finished my time of prayer and I went into that office. And God gave me morning and evening messages pretty much from start to finish. I had one of the most productive days of being able to get ready for you folks. And it was that time that God changed the focus of my, we were going to be looking at I am the light of the world this morning. God changed that focus to this passage, and I'm preaching it to you now, what God gave. You see, what I was doing was I changed it to no, seek me first. What does that entail? Get up and do what you're supposed to do. Get up and minister to other people. Meet the needs of your family. Meet the needs of this church. Do what you need to do. You do it. Listen, that's seeking first the kingdom of God. Do that. I am fully capable of taking care of this issue with the house. I'll take care of that. That's not much. Now, I want to close by giving you two things here that are important. Two applications that we can leave with today. Number one, we can be very encouraged. Wait a second. I don't have to be anxious. You can leave here today trusting in him. What a comfort to know that the Lord's shoulders is fully capable of taking care of your busyness, your activity, your things that you run around in life doing, or maybe you sit around and worry about. That's good news. You don't have to bear that weight. But can I tell you, there's a second application here. And this, I want to give you three closing things that we need to consider if we continue on in our anxious living. And I'll tell you, this last little part really woke me up. And this is really the bulk of my message that I'm going to give you in just 2 minutes here. Number one, listen to this. Please listen. When I am anxious, I'm acting like the world and will therefore have a difficult time ministering to the world. What does Matthew 6:32 say? For after these things do the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles, you say, well, Gentile, we're Gentiles. The reference to Gentiles in this refers to the people of the world. For us, the people of the world. It's not just non-Jew, it's the people of the world. He said, this is what the world does. The world is burdened and overwhelmed with life. The world is burdened with clothing. The world is burdened with food. The world is burdened with their houses and their cars. The world is burdened with these things. The world is burdened with job, and the world is burdened with making money. The world is burdened with all that. No, I have something different from you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, folks, when we live in anxiety, we are being just like the world. And when we are like the world, we cannot reach the world. We cannot reach the world because we're acting the same as the world. There's no way that we can be effective. Faith Bible Church cannot be effective of sharing the gospel with people if we are living anxious. I'll tell you, the first thing that's going to turn people off is when they say they're not trusting God. They don't, you know, they claim God and they worry about it. That's the first thing. The very first concern is when I'm anxious, I'm acting just like the world and will therefore have a difficult time ministering to the world. Point number two. When I am anxious, I will not be able to reach the world as I am too focused on my own anxieties. Look at verse 33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Folks, he says, in a simple sense, he said, listen, I want you to seek first my things. Why does he say that? Because if I'm seeking my things, I'm not seeking his thing. Do you follow that? When I'm burdened about my situations, I am ineffective of helping other people. No, he says, rather, but. Did you notice that Matthew 6:33 starts off with but? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, get to doing my work with other people rather than yourself. Sir, ma'am, who do you want to reach out to? Who are the people in your life that you want to be a blessing to? I want you to think about that son or daughter that needs you. Think about that grandchild that needs you. Think about that neighbor that needs you. Think about that coworker that needs you. Think about the people that need you. If I'm anxious, then I'm not seeking first the kingdom. I'm not dealing with that. I'm not doing God's work. Those people, to put it very simply, are going to lose because I'm not trusting God. I'm not trusting Him. And so therefore, I'm not able to minister. Folks, when we have so many things in my life that I'm anxious about, I am not thinking about ministry. And I'm going to tell you, when I was here that morning, I wasn't thinking about Sunday and preaching this message and thinking about how to minister. I was all into my own situation. God showed me this verse and I got up and I started preparing to serve you. And God blessed that. And this message comes from that. That's the second thing. We need to be concerned about the people that we're supposed to be helping. And number three, when I'm anxious, this is kind of amazing, I'm being proud in taking matters into my own hands. In fact, if we were to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, the verses before verse 7, the context is pride and humility. When we take matters into our own hands, it's almost as if we're saying, God, this weight is on my shoulders. I've got all this to do. And we pout, our lip hits the floor. We're whining, we're complaining about all that we have to do, but we're unwilling to give it to God. Do you know what that's called? Pride. It's no different than pride. It is pride through and through. Because we think that we can take care of it. And we're boo-hooing that we have it. We're good at that. We tend to complain about what we have and we're unwilling to give it over to the Lord. It's meant for God's shoulders, not yours. John tells us as we close, John in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Folks, we can live confidently, not because of us, but we can live confidently because of him. We can give it to him. He can bear it. I ask you this morning, what's the weight on your shoulders? What's your fear? What's your anxiety? The good news is we were never meant to bear it, and he's there to bear it. Kind of the bad news is there's some consequences if we choose to continue to bear it. And we need to be very careful. Let's not be like the world. Let's reach the world. Let's not be proud. Let's give it to him. Father, so grateful for your good word today that confronts our anxiety. Again, the statistics would say that the majority of people in the room are probably going through some sort of anxiety, or will go through, or have recently. God, we tend to be very fearful and careful about a lot of things that are damaging to ourselves, disrupting from the world, and flat out against you. God, help us this morning to give these anxieties to you, to cast them, to roll them, to commit them, to take no thought of them, because they're not ours, they're yours. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We give them to you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.